It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. No, we're moving on down. St. Francis of Pennsylvania is going to join the Division III sports world. Just 1 week ago, the men's basketball team at St. Francis University of Pennsylvania played in the NCAA's March Madness tournament. The number 16 seed, Red Flash, lost to Alabama State 70-68 last Monday in Dayton, Ohio. Then on this Tuesday, St. Francis University announced that they are leaving the NCAA's large Division I athletic stage over the next year. The school's Board of Trustees, led by Chairman and Very Reverend Dr. Joseph Lehman, announced this decision yesterday. He said, quote, "The governance associated with intercollegiate athletics has always been complicated and is only growing in complexity based on realities like the transfer portal, pay for play, and other shifts that move athletics away from the love of the game. Based on the changes in athletics nationally, it would be a disservice to our student athletes and athletic department not to review and assess how we can best provide the resources necessary for them to be competitive." Well, here's my translation. What St. Francis University is actually saying is, quote, from Swamp Swami, "We don't have the financial resources nor the desire to continue playing in the current Division I group any longer. In addition, we want our sports teams to remain competitive and play against schools within our geographic region. We cannot do that in Division I sports. And it's very important that our athletes should be contributing students at our university for more than just one semester. Adios, Division I. We are out of here." Just 1 year from now, St. Francis of Pennsylvania, which is located in Loretto, Pennsylvania, which is halfway between Pittsburgh and State College, will exit the Northeast Conference and enter NCAA Division III as a new member of the President's Athletic Conference in the fall of 2026. Bigger is not necessarily better. St. Francis University has an enrollment of about 2,100 students. As a current member of the NCAA's Division I basketball group, the Red Flashes are smaller than nearly every school in the upper division. Those schools generally have a larger enrollment, more alumni and alumni support, and a larger annual athletics budget to work with. In Tuesday's press release, St. Francis will also shrink its travel budget significantly by making the move to its new Division III conference. St. Francis was an original member of the Division I Northeast Conference back in 1981. The travel to other member schools located in Massachusetts, Connecticut, Illinois, New York, and New Jersey caused the Red Flash and its fans to travel 6 hours or more each way for athletic events. By affiliating in the Division III President's Athletics Conference, St. Francis will play similar-sized schools located primarily within the state of Pennsylvania. Most athletic events will require less than 2 hours of travel time for the sports team and their fans. So what happens to those athletic scholarships at St. Francis? One big change in moving to Division III in NCAA sports is that the school is not permitted to provide athletic scholarships anymore. All students desiring to compete in sports must also compete with the general school population for academic financial aid and need-based assistance. Now, the school addressed that subject in its Frequently Asked Questions section yesterday. Even though the NCAA's Division III does not allow schools to offer athletic scholarships, St. Francis is going to be permitted to honor its currently awarded athletic scholarships through the academic year 2027-2028. And after that time, all students must qualify for general academic scholarships and need-based assistance with the school. That means that I expect most of the serious athletes to transfer away from St. Francis University in the next year. The school is going to begin playing at its new Division III conference a year from now in the fall of 2026. So it's going to be interesting to see how St. Francis University fields its sports teams next fall and spring during their final year at the Division I level. The current D1 Northeast Conference competitors are likely going to feast on the Red Flashes next season. Has the NCAA transfer portal become a clever way to obscure subpar academic performances? One of the primary reasons that St. Francis is stepping out of the chaos of today's NCAA Division I category is that the student portion of the phrase student-athlete is being obliterated in the last few years. This Monday, the NCAA's new transfer portal opened for business for college basketball players. But wait, the college season is still continuing. It doesn't matter. From now until Tuesday, April 22nd, college basketball players can raise their hand and let their agents and other colleges negotiate a name, image, and likeness cash offer to mull prior to deciding where to transfer. Believe it or not, every player participating in this week's men's and women's Sweet 16 competition has the ability to place their name into the NCAA transfer portal right now and request permission to leave that program before late April. Can you imagine how well that would go over at a top men's basketball seed like Auburn or Duke? And I don't think I'd want to tell Kim Mulkey at LSU that you're thinking about transferring right now. On the other hand, it might be fun to see if that first guy off the bench who does plan to transfer will get an opportunity to play in the next 2 weeks of March Madness basketball tournament. Now, one of my biggest concerns has to do with the verification of academic progress of the increasing number of these transfer athletes. The NCAA, and you can insert your own laugh here, certainly has not proven itself capable of enforcing this or most of its other rules during the past few decades. So it wouldn't surprise me if the majority of these transferring athletes are lagging in their current academic performance. For example, does anyone know how many of these transferring athletes are just simply withdrawing from spring classes right now prior to having their final grades posted? Are those transferring players required to maintain a full-time student status? Today's major college athletics departments and school administrators likely have a number of rather clever academic amnesty programs
I'm all ears.
Tailored to assist any of the low-achieving student-athletes trying to gain admission to their newest school. Well, at least for their first year of academic eligibility, that is. And then it's time to transfer again, right? By the way, those little guys are now fading from the scene in Division I sports. Just take a look at the conference affiliations for the remaining teams in this weekend's Sweet 16 men's and women's NCAA March Madness basketball tournaments. In the men, the SEC has 7 teams, the Big Ten 4, the Big 12 4, and the ACC has 1. On the women's side, the SEC has 6 teams left, the ACC 4, the Big Ten 3, the Big 12 2, and the Big East has 1 team left. And in that men's bracket, you're not going to find a mid-major team like 2024's Gonzaga or San Diego State. And in 2023, do you remember Princeton and Florida Atlantic? They were in the Sweet 16 then too. In March 2022, it brought us the St. Peter's Peacocks into the Sweet 16 to make it more interesting. And who can forget the then 98-year-old Sister Jean and her Loyola Chicago Ramblers team, which found its way into the 2018 March Madness Sweet 16. By the way, Sister Jean is now 105 years old, and she's still doing fine. But her Loyola Chicago team is nowhere to be found this weekend. Today's wealthiest schools are pilfering the top players from the smaller Division I schools by dangling hundreds of thousands of NIL dollars as an incentive to transfer. And this weekend, you'll get to see some terrific former small program players who bolted for the big bucks and transferred to a bigger school. Like Auburn's Janae Broom from Morehead State University originally, Alabama's Mark Sears, he played at Ohio University, and Florida's Walter Clayton Jr. was at Iona before they were all snagged during successful fishing expeditions using the NCAA's transfer portal and that NIL money machine. Athletes at mid-major schools and the smaller Division I programs like St. Francis of Pennsylvania are being heavily scouted by the wealthiest athletic programs. And those bigger programs are more than willing to pay the most talented college athletes to transfer over to their schools. Here in 2025, why waste your money recruiting those emotionally fragile and often fickle five-star high school athletes? And for high school athletes who are now being overlooked by the major schools, he or she should consider finding a smaller program willing to provide some playing time during those first 2 years of college. Because the big schools, along with those hungry sports agents, know where every player is. They'll be happy to confirm the proper time for you to enter the NCAA transfer portal and grab some of that big pile of NIL loot. So expect the trend of schools exiting the NCAA Division I and dropping into Division III to increase. An athletic program's exit from Division I down to Division III, though, comes with some significant downside financial effects. For smaller Division I programs, one or more of those cash visits to wealthy football schools like LSU or Texas A&M means the loss of some very significant revenue to the athletic department. Those sacrificial trips to receive your annual beating often net $1 million or more for the visiting team's athletics budget. And by changing your identity from Division I down to Division III, those bigger programs are not going to schedule you anymore at that level because it works against their cherished national rankings. Even early season road trips to a wealthy basketball school like Kansas or North Carolina can add some bonus bucks to a visiting team's bank account if you're in Division I. But those will go away also if you drop down to Division III. So all of these financial aspects must be carefully evaluated. On the other hand, decades of watching your college athletics team get pummeled at the Division I level really sinks home attendance. Will changing over to Division III and winning against some lesser competition help to add fan interest back to the athletics program? That's a very tough call to make. For St. Francis University in Pennsylvania, the school claims to have studied this issue for quite some time prior to announcing their decision to drop from the NCAA Division I down to Division III this week. That decision worked best for them. But right now, you better believe that dozens of other colleges and universities are likely considering doing that same thing soon themselves. St. Francis's bold step might help some of those schools make a similar decision. Meanwhile, the NCAA's Division I is becoming the home to watch semi-professional athletics being conducted on major college campuses all around the country. With more than 430 colleges and universities competing in the NCAA Division III, their members also compete for athletic championships in every single major sport, just like the Division I schools do. The operating costs, though, are lower. But then again, so is the prestige and the general public's interest of participating in NCAA Division III sports. Well, at least it is for now. But one thing we do know, the trend certainly isn't in the other direction here in 2025. I'm Swamp Swami.